It's Psalm 23, provided hope, comfort, and assurance to people for thousands of years, literally, in the faith. And really, bookends of this sermon, we have Psalm 23, this beautiful piece, and at the end of the sermon, we're going to sing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. So right back to that psalm. In between, though, we're going to be visiting in the book of Acts. We're going to be getting a vision of the early church and what the early church was like. But first, I wonder, are you familiar with time-lapse photography? Kind of know what I mean when I talk about that? James, why don't you pull one up? Watch this for a second. Oh, look at that. It's a miracle. Time-lapse photography. You know, I started thinking about time-lapse photography this week as I was getting ready for the sermon. I started thinking about that. And what does time-lapse photography does? It really condenses time and gives you a vision of a lot of things in a very short period of time. And I thought, you know, most of you were probably here on Easter, but if you weren't here on Easter, I thought, well, let me show you what it was like in time-lapse. Go ahead. There we go. Choir singing. You're singing. Reader reading. Whoop, there goes the choir. Whoa. This part, we don't show you because you were nodding off during this part. Yeah. Okay, get the sermon over. Come on. Oh, there goes Carl. Oh, now the Splash Kids Choir singing. Now they're singing. You're singing again. Service getting a little long. So when we get to communion, if it go quickly through communion, I would appreciate it. Oh, there you go. Oh, my goodness. Look at you go. Time-lapse photography. Thank you to Laura Canby for putting that together for us. Yeah. So that's that. You know, I really had to start thinking about that. That's time-lapse photography on Easter. But what would another week look like at your church, this church, Trinity Lutheran Church? This, I've got to tell you, this amazing place. It's an amazing place of grace, but it's also an amazing place of abundance and activity. And so I just wondered, if we set up a time-lapse photography camera for any given week, what would that look like? Well, last week, if we had that set up, you'd see the young and the old scurrying in and out of our building. You'd see our dedicated Sunday school teachers as they gathered here for a luncheon last Saturday. And then as soon as they left, the knitting Bible study group would arrive. And they were followed closely by Mark Pearson, Carl Olson, and friends preparing for a concert. And then last Saturday afternoon, that concert would happen. 250 people would park their cars out there, and they'd walk in, and they'd run in, and some would hobble in to enjoy the concert. And on Sunday morning, long before the sun is up, the people of God start arriving here at Trinity Lutheran Church. Some 450 people will gather for worship and fellowship, Sunday school, and adult education. They walk in looking for coffee and a hug, but more than that, they come seeking a word of grace and hope. In they come and out they go, with a bounce in their step, ready to face another week. Now by Sunday evening, the people were gathering again right here. They came into this sanctuary to sit at the feet of the master storyteller, Dr. Jerry Camry Hoggett. Last Sunday night, everyone was gone. Scott Treggett, our sexton, turned off the lights, locked the doors. The sun comes up on Monday morning, a down day at your church, right? Well, not really. The finance committee was here early in the morning. Our cleaning crew had beat them here. And soon the Puget Sound Blood Bank was collecting blood in the gym. South Whidbey community gathered here to give blood that our neighbors would have an opportunity to recover from surgery. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what's happening? Well, this is happening. The little people, like the ones on the wall, arrive at church holding the hands of their parents or their grandparents, and you know what? They are smiling because it's a preschool day, and they get to see their friends and be with their teachers. And I've got to tell you, folks, there's a lot of great things going on, but perhaps this is our greatest ministry to the community and to our future. The children bounce into this worship space. They come in here for chapel with me. They know that this is a place that's called the sanctuary, and they know that sanctuary means safe place. It's a safe place for them, a place where they're nurtured and cared for and loved always. The time-lapse camera would show that our buildings are used as much by the community as they are by our own people. 40 nonprofit groups move in and out of the buildings each month for free. Helping Hand has their offices in our other building for free. What is your church? This is your church. This is a vision of your church. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, our buildings provide sanctuary, safe place, and meeting space for our island neighbors. But you know what? If we set up those cameras, not everything is going to appear on those films. What would not be so clear in the time-lapse photography would be the variety of blessings that flow out from this place of generosity. You were here a couple weeks ago, hundreds of quilts on the pews. They left this week, off to different parts of the world to bring comfort and warmth to those who have been devastated by illness or disaster. Countless cords of wood go out of this place to our neighbors. Food is delivered to local food banks and to the streets of Seattle. Our solar panels pump electricity back into the grid. We are a green power station. And then there is the money. If you did not notice the checks in the window of the sanctuary when you came in this morning, please notice them when you leave. We wrote a lot of checks this week. Those checks, that money is not seen by the time-lapse camera. It moves silently. $100,000 in scholarships to Whidbey College students. Camp scholarships for our middle school and high school students. $100,000 to Bihar, India. People halfway around the world who live in poverty. People we will never meet. People who do not look like us. People who do not worship like us. And yet, for each of the next 4 years, we'll be coming alongside 100 families a year. Our $100,000 will help 400 families out of poverty. We will be changing their lives with our change and our offerings. Money. Money leaves this place every month, every week, every day. How much? If the time lapse could record it, what would it look like? Well, imagine, if you will, a $1 bill. Now imagine a $1 bill with legs on it. It's got legs. Now imagine 275,000 of these caught on time lapse as they walked out of the sanctuary, out the door, and into the world. That's right, $275,000 a year, $22,916 a month, $753 a day, every day, no holidays, 365 days a year. And where is that money going? It's going to help your neighbors with Hearts and Hammers. It's helping with World Hunger and Good Cheer and Ryan's House and Senior Services and Friends of Friends, Gift from the Heart Food Bank, and dozens of other programs that help your friends and your neighbors. What's your church about? This is your church. This is what we are about. And there's more. I mean, we're a gathering of people in a place without judgment and fear. You know, Jesus came to cast out fear. Jesus said repeatedly, "Do not be afraid." This is your church. It's a place of welcome and hope. This is your church. Hate is not spoken here. Hate has no place here. And resumes and titles, they mean nothing here. There's only one title here that matters, and that is Child of God. And that title is shared by all of us. And the table, it's always open here because Jesus invites. And grace is always spoken here because we speak for Jesus. Yes, mine is the church where everybody's welcome. Now, I know some of you have had bad experiences with the church. Some of you have been judged, excluded, not welcomed by the church, and I'm really sorry for that. That's been a part of the history of the Christian church. That is a dark part of our history, the failing of a human institution. But that is the church and part of its history, but it's not the church of Jesus. And I hope it's not Trinity Lutheran Church. So now I want to invite you to come with me into the book of Acts. We're going to be taking a journey. You can come with me. It's quite a journey, actually. We're going back in time. We're going back 2,000 years. We're headed to Jerusalem. And we're going to visit the Church of Jesus in its earliest form just a few months after Easter. Here we see the church in its infancy. Now, this is a reading from the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes these words: "The followers of Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." This is Luke's description of the earliest church. So let's break this down a little bit and see if there's something we can learn this morning. The early church, the first Christians, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, who were the apostles? The apostles were the most intimate followers of Jesus. Apostle actually means messenger or delegate. So, in fact, you are apostles when you leave here to tell people about Jesus. There's a larger meaning here, like the apostle Paul, who was not present in this Acts scene. But for the sake of this text, the apostles were the disciples of Jesus, those closest to him, the men and women who had journeyed with him for a better part of 3 years. So what did they do? They came together and they told the stories of Jesus. They told his parables over and over again. They told of his miracles. They shared his teachings, and then they asked how those teachings might inform their lives and their faith. Does that sound familiar? That's what we do. They devoted themselves to the teachings of Jesus and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Fellowship. Yes, fellowship is important. Friendship, companionship, people with shared interests who share the journey of life. They ate together. They had potlucks, covered casseroles. They ate too many cookies at the coffee hour. They hugged, they laughed, and they cried together. They enjoyed fellowship, Brothers Four concerts, youth group overnighters, sing-along Sound of Music nights, and their pastor led them on pilgrimages to the Holy Land. At the center of their lives was a devotion to the teachings of Jesus. That's a message for us. We need to stick with the teachings of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the teachings of Jesus, to fellowship with other Christians, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, the breaking of bread and prayers, that's what's going to happen as soon as I sit down. As soon as we get done preaching this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the children, and we're going to pray for their families that are accompanying them, those who are behind them. We're going to pray for the people of the world, for peace and justice, for a world where the common good of all people will be more important than profit or politics or power. We will pray and then we'll gather for a meal. We will remember how Jesus fed the hungry. We'll remember how Jesus shared bread and wine with sinners. We will remember the night in which he was betrayed, and we will hear words of forgiveness and hope. Take and eat. Take and eat, all of you. There are no strangers here. There are no foreigners here. Jesus knows you. Jesus invites you. Take and eat for the forgiveness of sins. What did the church look like? They focused on the words of Jesus. They enjoyed fellowship. They shared bread and wine and Holy Communion, and they prayed together. And what happened? Awe. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Awe. What about awe? What's that about? We're not in awe over the ordinary, are we? If we see something ordinary, it doesn't inspire awe. No, awe comes from something out of the ordinary. A magnificent sunset like we've never seen before. Take that picture, put it on Facebook. The voice of an amazing singer. A talent so unique that it makes our jaws drop. It's awesome. What happened in the early Christian church was out of the ordinary. You see, 2,000 years ago in Palestine, they were living a dog-eat-dog world. In a world where might makes right, where the rich oppressed the poor and the Romans oppressed everyone. If you wanted to get ahead or even survive, you had to look out for number one. You had to step on the weak. You had to trample anyone who was a threat. That was ordinary life. But the early church was living as Jesus taught them. And that was so far out of the ordinary that it caused awe. What did it look like? Get this. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. That's it. That's what it looked like. And when people saw it, they said, "That's awesome." It was countercultural. It turned the world upside down. So what do you think? Should we do this? Should we do this at TLC? Well, we already do. All of those checks on the windows of the sanctuary, where does that money come from? We get no money from the government. We get no money from the larger church. The ELCA does not send us money to give away or money to pay our light bills. Where does that money come from? It comes from you. It's your money. Every week you sell your possessions, you give up the opportunity to spend elsewhere, and you bring your money here, and that money keeps the doors of this place open, and that money is distributed to the poor, it feeds the hungry, it provides home for the homeless, it clothes the naked, it provides aid to senior citizens and scholarships for our preschool families. And guess what? You don't have to do it. We do not send out bills at Trinity Lutheran Church. You ever received a bill from me? No, no one has. And we don't threaten to turn your power off if you don't pay. And we don't threaten to turn the power of God's love off if you don't give in the offering. No, you could spend that money anywhere, on dinner at Gordon's or a new car or another exotic trip. You don't have to do it, and God will not love you less. In fact, if you hoard your money, God will still love you. That's the truth. But this is the truth also. If you hoard your money, you will love less. You will see less beauty in God's world. You will not experience the abundant life that God desires for you. In the early church, they would sell their possessions and their goods, and then they distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. That's exactly what we do at Trinity Lutheran Church. Blessed to be a blessing. Recognizing that everything belongs to God in the first place, believing that we're called to make a difference in our community and in our world, we take some measure, whatever that is, some measure of our wealth, and we return it to God, and we distribute it to our neighbors. What did the early church look like? Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The early Christians worshiped as Jews, and they gathered in the safety of their own homes to break bread together. And how did they do it? With glad and generous hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of people I want to eat with. That's the kind of people I want to spend my time with. People with glad and generous hearts. You know, life is short. For some of us, it's getting really short. Who do you want to spend your time with? You want to spend your time with people who have glad and generous hearts, people with an attitude of gratitude, people who are making a difference. Who wants to spend their time with grumpy Christians? Not me. We don't need grumpy here. We need grace-filled people here. The church does not need grumpy people. Now think about it. God's given us everything. How could we be grumpy? God's forgiven our sins. Should that not fill us with gratitude? They ate with glad and generous hearts. I hope we can eat and live with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. The goodwill of all the people. What's that? What is that about? I wonder, what's the word on the street out there about the people of God at Trinity Lutheran Church? I hope that the word on the street is that we are people who care, that we're not judgmental, that we're not self-righteous, that we're not closed-minded religious people. I hope that those who do not come to church here, those who would not describe themselves as churchgoers or perhaps even as Christians, would still have good things to say about a church that buried their grandmother or married their daughter or provided space for their AA group or cared for them in a time of need. The Church of Jesus was meant to be a place of grace and hospitality, a place of generosity and gratitude, of radical inclusion, a place of humility where grateful people far outnumber the grumps. But too often the church has been just the opposite. Finally, let's bring this from church to your house, to your family. Let me say that the principles that were meant to make for a healthy church are the same principles that make for a healthy family. Healthy families are centered in love and forgiveness, just like the church. Healthy families vow to live together faithfully, and then they do their very best to keep those vows. Healthy families offer lots of praise and encouragement to each other. Healthy families share their burdens and their abundance. Healthy families share an attitude of gratitude. Healthy families spend time together, fellowship. They have fun together, and they eat meals together. Time-lapse photography. If there was a time-lapse camera at Trinity Lutheran Church, it would reveal a church that is about as close to the Church of Jesus as we can get 2,000 years later. And for that, I thank you. I thank you for being welcoming, and I thank you for being generous. And I thank you for being grateful. And I thank you for not being self-righteous and not being judgmental and not being grumpy most of the time. And what's the result of all this? God is adding to our numbers day by day. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd invite you to stand.